Welcome to The Correct Opinion, the official podcast of themovieblog.com. I'm Ryan, and of course with us as always is Anthony.
Thank you guys. I'm glad to be here. It's a wonderful night. It's going to be a fun show tonight. I have a good feeling about tonight.
Yeah, we've got a lot to talk about. Just to go over the subjects really quick, we're going to touch on Suicide Squad, casting for that, the Star Wars trailer, of course, Sony hacks, and oh my god, there's just a million things to talk about that, but the main thing we'll focus on is the Spider-Man leak, the Terminator trailer, and Anthony is ready to debate Interstellar.
We took a little bit of time off, and look at all the news that came out.
I know. That's what we get for having our holiday shopping.
Let's hop right into it. Let's try to make up for lost time.
Okay. Where do you want to start?
I want to start with this Star Wars trailer, and I want to know why you didn't publish it. Why didn't you post this? You're our Star Wars guru.
I saw the trailer,
and immediately I said, oh, let me go to the movie blog and see what Ryan put up.
I honestly thought someone else would have had it, and I
uploaded it into the account. I'm waiting for you.
Really? Oh,
yeah,
well,
yeah. Unless you want me to do it, because I'll do it.
No, I was out of town at up in Northern Virginia and cramped in a small space with no bed. I was actually sleeping on the floor, so it was one of those family things where they just cram everyone into a small space and say like, "Oh, okay, yeah, you're fine." So. Yeah.
Oh, you mean Thanksgiving?
Yeah, exactly. So not only did we stuff ourselves with food, we were stuffed in a small confined area. So
well, that's not too bad if you're around a good company and maybe a board game or something.
Yeah, it was my girlfriend's family, so
let's move on.
Yeah, let's move on.
I don't want to know what happened on the floor
right, of
her parents' house. But this Star Wars trailer came out, and I have noticed that it's gotten a huge reaction online. What are your thoughts on this thing?
I actually love it. And this is coming from a diehard Star Wars fan. And I'm going to throw this out there. I am glad that Lucas is nowhere near it. He totally annihilated the prequels. And if you look at the originals, out of all of them, I'd say that the first one is probably the least favorite of the three.
And the one he directed.
Yeah, and that's the one he directed. Irvin Kershner actually directed the fan favorite one, which is Empire Strikes Back. And
right.
The thing with Lucas is I think he is a visionary when it comes to special effects and all of that stuff, but when it comes to scripting and casting and just dialogue in general, he needs to give it to someone else.
Right. I'm with you on that. There wasn't a whole lot of that in the trailer itself. From what I saw, it was a pretty fast-paced trailer.
Yeah.
I was surprised by the amount of computer effects I saw in it. I don't know why, you know, it's 2014. I should be okay with it, even in Star Wars, but, it kind of caught me off guard. I don't know. Let me let you finish your opinion. Let me not muddy that too much before I start saying what I want to say.
Well, there were a couple things with it that that fans didn't like. I know, and this, you know what, I'm going to touch on this one. This is the most ridiculous. It's controversial, but everybody was upset about there being a black stormtrooper in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear about this?
A little bit. I mean, I presume. I didn't even have to hear about it. That was the assumption.
I'm just wondering where the Star Wars fan logic is. Do they really think that that this is some sort of like Caucasian utopia where black people don't exist in the universe? I mean, I get what they're saying where there should be some, where a lot of the stormtroopers were clones, but that was back in the prequels. You know, it's like you think nobody just wanted to enlist and be a stormtrooper? It made no sense to me.
It's the thing with Hollywood in general. Anytime there's a African American not named Will Smith in a major release, there's going to be some controversy. Or at least there's going to be some people that are bothered by that. And that's just, you know, life. That's just the world. It is what it is. But that's usually a very minor, a minority group as opposed to, you know, the major overall audience opinion. And these are the same people who still accepted Sam Jackson as a Jedi Knight. So it's just absurd to me.
It is. And not only that, he was probably the most powerful as far as it went, as far as lightsaber fighting goes. Like, I mean, I won't go into the details, but he was the only Jedi master that could master a form of lightsaber fighting where it was borderline dark side, but he still stayed light. So, I mean, you've got a really powerful Jedi there. I think the one thing that this is missing is Lando. I am so disappointed. We've heard about every single cast member, but
Billy D.
Yeah, but you're not gonna have Billy D. Williams. I mean, he was smoother than Han Solo. Like, hello, princess.
What do you think about that new cross lightsaber?
Did you see the Colbert thing on it?
A little bit, and they kind of poked fun out of it and gave it some more crosses and whatnot. What do you think of what they have now? Because I'm getting, like, Darth Maul vibes, and it's not really sitting well with me.
I think it totally makes sense. In fact, I'd say it probably makes more sense, functional sense, than a lot of other sabers. As far as the science goes, and the people are like, no, it doesn't make sense, because how would a lightsaber function like that? They need to shut up, because honestly, how would a lightsaber function in modern-day science anyway? There's no way to contain a beam and have it be a repellent force. Like, it doesn't make sense. But, yeah, and also you look at how many people have lost limbs, primarily hands. I think this is the first dark Jedi who's like, or Sith, who's like, you know what? Everybody's been losing hands. I'm going to protect mine.
I'm with you on that. I get it. You know, and I assumed it was a Sith because it was a red saber.
Yeah.
I'm going to admit, I'm not really impressed with the trailer. I'm impressed with it from a Star Wars fanboy perspective, but as a overall film guy, it seems tepid. You know, it seems almost run-of-the-mill. And I guess that's because they're still withholding a lot of stuff. That's my assumption. It was just a teaser.
Yeah, and I think that's why it's probably sitting that way with you. It's because it is a teaser, and you have to accept it for that. They were trying to fit in as many things as they could just to satiate your appetite, you know?
Right.
And with that, you're not going to have a very concrete and cohesive trailer that gives you a vision of what the movie is, because they don't want to give you an idea of what the film is yet.
Oh, God, I can't stand JJ. I can't stand this guy. Okay, well, I'm looking forward to the movie. You know, I'm hoping that it turns out well. At this point, I'm going to put it out there. I'm looking forward to Rian Johnson's going to bring to episode 8 more than I am to this one. But I'm hoping to still have fun.
Yeah, I think everybody will. I think this is just going to be, it's going to be refreshing compared to the prequels.
Well, yeah, we'll see Han and Luke and Leia again, so that's definitely going to be pretty cool. Aside from Star Wars, there's been a lot of other big news. The Suicide Squad cast. I just mentioned Will Smith. Let's that's a good segue. Let's go. What do you think about this cast, man?
You know, it's going to be different from anything we've seen before, because the Suicide Squad has a different feel overall. So I think we're not going to get this Joker that everyone is used to.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, the first thing I thought of, remember the A-Team and the one wild card guy who flew the chopper?
Yeah.
I feel I can't think of his name, but
District 9 guy, I remember him.
Yeah. Charlto Copley.
Charlto Copley, yeah.
Yeah, but I couldn't think of his character name. But
oh.
Anyways, yeah, like, I think it's going to be more like him, where it's just, he's a little bit like, what are you doing, man? You just threw a grenade in the middle of this. We got to run. It's going to be more like that kind of Joker.
A little off kilter?
Yeah. But I don't know how that'll sit with people. I think Jared Leto has the acting chops to do it. I think Margot Robbie is Harley Quinn. That's
impressive.
Yeah. I mean, you saw Wolf of Wall Street, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so there's that one
scene. I do work on a movie site.
Yeah. Well, there's that one scene where I think they're about to break up, and it's like a scene where I think they've got cameras in the nursery or something, but she starts doing a certain voice, and I was like, oh my God, that's Harley Quinn. That sounds exactly like her.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. And she's has that demeanor, that look, where it's just like, it's Harley Quinn come to life pretending to be Margot Robbie.
I agree.
So I'm really with that cat. Actually, my thinking is this might be one of the best, if not the best, comic book casting I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, I think overall it's going to be a fun film, especially with David Ayer just coming off of Fury. It's going to be very war-driven, very little character development, I think, but just a fun ride overall.
It's going to be refreshing because it's a team that people aren't 100% familiar with. And at first, I was apprehensive. Oh my gosh, Suicide Squad. What the hell can they do with that? And I had to remember, I said the same thing about Guardians of the Galaxy a year or two ago. Yeah. And I love that movie. So I'm really getting excited about what this Suicide Squad might be. I'm glad to finally see Will Smith step outside of his comfort zone and commit to a movie like this. I'm really glad for Jared Leto as casting as the Joker. I think he's going to do something great. I hope he really isn't what you described. I'm hoping that they continue to use the most recent comics as inspiration. If there is any cohesiveness to that. And I want to see, like, Death of the Family Joker. I want to see, like, wearing his face as a mask. And I think that would be pretty interesting. But it's hard to tell where everything will go or what and if there's going to be an overarching story to help connect all of these films.
You know, I'm kind of wondering about...
And why isn't there a Batman movie? Like, out of all of the things that are announced, there's no Batman.
Well, I think that's coming in the future. I think, I feel like, and I think this is the route that DC's going, is this Batman versus Superman Dawn of Justice is going to cause all of these spinoffs, and Batman and Superman are going to be somewhat of a consistency. They're almost kind of, like the Justice League overall, it's going to end up being kind of like an Avengers type thing.
Right.
But...
Now, the Dawn of Justice, it's not Man of Steel 2 anymore, right? That Man of Steel 2 is actually another film.
Right, that's going to be another film.
Okay, so this is a standalone, pretty much Justice League movie.
Yeah, and I think we will see another Batman, even though they haven't announced it. I just think they're going to try and explore some of these other characters first.
Okay, I'm cool with that. I really am excited about this movie. Gosh, man.
But you didn't mention, what do you think of Will Smith as Deadshot? You mentioned what you thought about him taking on the role, but as Deadshot.
Deadshot, here's the thing. I'm not familiar with Deadshot. You know, the first time I read it, I was like, oh my God, Will Smith is going to play Deathstroke. That's going to be so cool.
Yeah.
And then I read it again, and I was like, who the hell is Deadshot? So I had to wiki the character, and I'm like, he's like some cyborg guy with a laser eye. I don't know. I'm not really... I don't know enough about the character to comment, but I hope they take ownership of the roles and actually just produce us something that's unique and entertaining. You know, I don't want to go back and read a bunch of comics and then see what I read.
I feel like out of all of the characters, I think Deadshot was the safest bet to choose Will Smith, because Will Smith is one of those actors that just kind of fits into any role, and Deadshot's one of those characters that is just, he's not very dynamic. But but he is, he's just a soldier. So he's very militant. It's a very generic role, which I think Will Smith will play well because he's played soldiers tons of times. So, I mean, I think he'll fit perfectly in the role.
I really think Jaden is picking his movies.
Ugh.
Like, all don't the movies he's picked Jaden in the past couple of years look like something Jaden would watch. So, I don't know.
Poor Will Smith being brought down by Jaden so many times.
It's okay when it's your kids. You know, that's the sacrifice you make.
That's how you know he's a good dad, because he's willing to do all these crap movies to help his son's career.
That's fine. You know, I don't even think he's doing it for his career. I think he's doing it for his kids' happiness.
Yeah, yeah.
I honestly don't think they really care at all about their careers. I mean, Willow turned down Annie, no matter, you know, no matter how big of a film that was intended to be. But aside from that, I'm really excited about the cast. Tom Hardy is back in another comic book film. It's a little weird seeing him so soon in another DC Comics film as another character, but that's okay. I don't know. I'm not 100% sure about how I feel about everything, but I'm going to be more optimistic about this one than I am about, for now, Star Wars.
Yeah, I think so too.
Jai Courtney and I don't know what to think about Jai Courtney.
Well, how about this? Since we're talking about Jai Courtney, what about that Terminator Genesis trailer?
Oh, I'm excited for it, but not for the right reasons. I want to see Arnold do funny stuff in that movie. Like, I just do the one-liners all throughout. I'm ready for it.
I think we're going to hear a lot of the one-liners, and I think out of, I know this isn't much of a comparison, but out of Terminator 3 and Terminator Salvation, I think this is going to be the best since Terminator 2.
I didn't think 3 was that bad when I first saw it.
I don't know. I absolutely hated 3.
I think I was coming off the Sarah Connor Chronicles or something like that, and I was like, oh man, Terminator's good again. And I kept up that momentum. A lot of the things that I saw in that last trailer reminded me of the same exact stunts that I saw in Terminator 2 and 3.
Right.
So
and I think that's what got me so excited, is it seems like almost like an homage to Terminator 2 and 1, especially with them looping back in time again.
Yeah, I'm almost disappointed that it's like, again, really, again? But with Hollywood's recent altered approaches to sequels, like in 22 Jump Street, even doing the same things again can seem fresh. So I'm hoping that, you know, this is going to be along that lines. Hollywood has been on a pretty good trend with that lately.
And, you know, I think this, if they do it right, they could, it could turn out to be a really interesting plot, because you mentioned the Sarah Connor Chronicles, and you remember in that it was kind of like an alternate timeline, because they actually said, well, you know what, we have this time travel thing, so we can go back whenever. And that's something I've always wondered. Why do they keep going back to different points in time rather than just keep continually going back and be like, oh, well, we didn't kill her this time. Guess we'll go back again.
Again. I mean, do machines not understand insanity?
Yeah.
you can't do that. That's not going to work. Other than that, you know, it is what it is. I'm excited for it. It's going to be, I'm glad to see Arnold back in the franchise. I think it's going to be a fun popcorn flick. I don't have reservations about this one like some of the other films we talked about. Other than that, you know, moving on from trailers and things like that, Spider-Man was supposed to be in Captain America 3, and Sony still didn't do it! Why?
I'm kind of catching a different perspective from this. I read the Wall Street Journal thing just today, and a lot of sites are reporting it as Sony had an opportunity with Marvel, and they didn't take it, but from what I read, it sounds like they've got a meeting coming up in January as to what they were going to do and a full plan of action for incorporating Spider-Man into the Marvel Universe. So, I'm wondering if that's...
There's still hope.
Yeah, I'm taking it as a more optimistic approach. A lot of sites see it as pessimism. They're like, oh, well, they had an opportunity a while ago. I'd say, no, this is just how studios work. They talk about things for a while, and then they're probably going to give Marvel a proposal, which I think the proposal was they have complete creative control over Spider-Man and Marvel would produce it, which if that's the case, if it's what I think it is, where Sony would have creative control and just have the Marvel stamp on it, if I was Marvel, I'd say, you know what? Keep shooting yourself in the foot, because we're doing the movies right and you guys are doing them wrong. So,
do you think Marvel could fix Spider-Man?
I think... You know what? I'm going to go back to Guardians of the Galaxy. If they can bring some crap comic like that and turn it into... And not crap, because I read the comic and it was amazing. But a very a very unknown comic book, to say, and turn it into like one of the biggest blockbusters of the year. Who knows what they could do with Spider-Man? I mean, they have not really had a franchise character on their roster. I mean, Iron Man was never that huge in the comics. Cap was big during World War II time, but he wasn't big into the comic boom, like the Bronze Age and Copper Age, like the 70s through the 90s. So, I mean,
that was all Spider-Man and the X-Men.
Yeah, I mean, Spider-Man is Marvel's Superman. Imagine what Marvel Studios could do with that.
I try to. I actually had this debate with someone earlier today. I don't give 100% confidence in Marvel, because as much as I'd like to sing their praises and they're well deserved, they've you know, shot themselves in the foot a couple times too. We can just look at, like you said, you know, the Iron Man franchise, and you know, they produced one good Iron Man movie.
that's true, but I think that might just be the mentality, is, you know, like they quickly move through it and be like, that one wasn't so good, so we'll move on to the next one. And then it was still...
I mean, but it's still on their report card. That's all I'm saying. Right. You know, it's still there. You know, they're not impervious to failure. So
they didn't do too well on a pop quiz, but overall they got an A for the semester.
So, you know, I think that they could do some fun things. I'm not 100% sold that they, you know, they're the savior for Spider-Man. But I know there's some talented people out there that could, but I just don't know if that's the definitive answer.
I disagree, and the reason is, and it might just be that my mind is polluted from the Sony hacks, and just seeing how rigid and simple-minded they are, just from their board meetings and everything. But Marvel still has that grasp on their comic characters. You know, they still have that comic book perspective where we're like, they know where they started, you know? And I just feel like Sony doesn't have a lot of respect for that thing. They're just looking for the dollar signs, and I think Marvel has been willing to work with them, bending over backwards just to have that, just to please the fans.
I am so happy that you moved out of the Mark Webb camp. Believe me, that debate was going for too long.
I didn't say that. I said Sony.
Mark Webb is not doing Spider-Man justice. I hear you. He's messing it up. Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah. No, I'll agree with you on that. Like, I was a big Andrew Garfield fan, and I was really looking forward to what Mark Webb could produce with Spider-Man's developing the character as a whole and his relationship with Gwen, which I was really excited for, and that was based off of 500 Days of Summer, which he did well. But as far as an action movie goes and incorporating the, like, fight choreography and things like that, like, there were a lot of times he just missed.
It hurts. I actually like the fight choreography in the Spider-Man films. I think that was their best part.
I like the lizard fight.
Yeah.
I didn't like...
No, not with Electro. That sucked.
Yeah, and I think that was just because it was a CGI extravaganza. I probably would have liked to see Jamie Foxx and Spider-Man, like, maybe throwing some electric punches or something, you know? Like, hit Spider-Man getting in there close and he, like, I don't know, just some hand-to-hand.
I think my favorite had to be, even though I wasn't a fan of the character at all, but my favorite moment out of these web films was the clock tower with the Green Goblin. That whole scene, that moment was, that's where Mark Webb showed his true talent. He's showing heartache, you know, he's showing loss, he's showing teen angst. It's so emotional and powerful.
I agree. It was just so abrupt, you know. Yeah. Like it came out of nowhere. I wish they would have really
built up to it.
yeah built up to it, and maybe levied the villains a little bit instead of focusing on Harry. Maybe have Harry transform into the Green Goblin a little bit sooner, and the Green Goblin and Electro collaborate a little bit earlier on.
And a little more.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, aside from that, I have a better movie to debate about.
Uh-oh.
I took some time this time, because it's a Christopher Nolan movie, and I initially instinctively see all the positives of a Christopher Nolan movie. And usually it takes some time for my mind to process the things that I just saw to really assess what I felt about the movie. Same thing happened with The Dark Knight Rises. Immediately after, for maybe the first week or two, I gushed over it. I thought it was amazing. I thought it was brilliant. And then third week, I was like, what the hell was that?
Yeah.
So with Interstellar, I wanted to give this one some time. And I can finally say that I enjoyed Interstellar a lot, even though it was a bad movie.
I can agree to a certain extent, but I don't think there's really an absolute calling it a bad movie with that. I think maybe from a formulaic perspective, where you're just going down the list of like cinematography, plot, character development, etc., etc.
Yeah,
but the
criteria for a good movie, I'm thinking pacing. It wasn't paced well.
But you still have a couple factors in there that kind of give it some positives for obscurity.
Yeah.
I know, like, Stanley Kubrick, this is a good example. I think, and this is a relatable film, too, 2001 A Space Odyssey, mm-hmm. caught a lot of flack from a lot of critics. But now it's held in such high regard, even though it doesn't really follow the traditional formulaic flow of films. So I feel like Interstellar kind of falls into that realm. Factually and what they did visually, it was absolutely amazing. But, I would say it was better than Gravity. And Gravity was nominated for Best Picture last year. Gravity was nothing more than, like, it was just a visual spectacle.
I'm never going to use the Academy as a rule of measurement for good and bad films. They have their own criteria for handing out awards. It's not the same as ours. And matter of fact, we should do our own awards.
We should.
We should do our own awards. We should. That's it. We're going to do it. End of year awards. And it's the perfect time to make that decision. Editorial okay. decree done. But there were, you know, just common criteria for satisfying or meeting my standard for a good film. For me personally, I need a film to have pacing that I enjoy. I don't want to spend the first hour talking about going into the space. I didn't like that. I think that seemed. I honestly think the first hour should have cut out 30 minutes. That could have been a 30-minute thing, and then go into space. I understand a lot of characters weren't even needed. I look back and I wonder, what's his name? Alfred from Batman.
Michael Caine.
Michael Caine. Did we need him? I wonder if Anne Hathaway could have satisfied that role, or if they were just, you know, I just want to work with Michael Caine again because he's my good luck charm. There were things that bothered me about it. Now, let me clear this up. The last act of the movie, let's say the last quarter or last third of the movie, I thought was really well done. It was really well done. And it made me want to rewatch this movie again. I really can't wait to see it again. But that last act doesn't excuse the first two.
Now, see, maybe I was just like viewing it from a different perspective. I enjoyed it from start to finish.
Okay.
And the reason is there was a message that was later confirmed by Christopher Nolan, but I caught the message early on, is he was trying to depict different points of different types of humanity. Like, so with Michael Caine, he was a survivalist. So that, for those who haven't seen it, there are going to be some spoilers here. But, yeah, he was working on this formula that pretty much could not be solved. So the whole time, the mission was just to repopulate life, right? It wasn't to save life. It was to repopulate. There's that perspective. Then you have the perspective of Matthew McConaughey and Anne Hathaway's character, who is more focused on, say, love, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
Love of the family, more of like,
in love with your partner, yeah, or
well,
spouse.
Yeah, in love with your partner, spouse kind of thing. But then they included those factual elements in there. There's no point where you could really create strong character development between the characters either, with this time warp and including the mission. In fact, I think if they really wanted to do that, the movie would probably have to be extended another another hour.
Oh God,
I know. I hate to say that, but
I thought the movie was too long. I remember sitting there like an hour into it, and I'm like, I almost felt bored. And it's not because the movie was above my head. And I do think the movie was just a little too complex. I don't think it's approachable to everyone.
No, it's not.
But it's just, it wasn't entertaining. You know, if I wanted to just get, you know, a science lesson, I'll watch Bill Nye. He's great, you know. But it was just, you know, I'm sitting there for 60 minutes and I don't get entertained, then there's something wrong with your movie. That's my thinking.
I could see it from that perspective. Like, the entertainment value of the film is very...
debatable.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I think that it's going to be more of a niche group that really enjoys it, like myself included. I'm just a big science geek, so... Of course, after I saw it, I pretty much locked myself in my room and I was reading up on astrophysics and all this stuff for like in the theory of relativity and string theory and M theory and all this stuff. And I was just like, oh man, this is just so fascinating. So it was kind of an inspiration to want to learn more,
right?
Which made it a thoroughly enjoyable film for me. But
you're also a computer programmer. You love learning.
Yeah.
I mean, that's your lane. I mean, I'm with you. You know, I was a science nerd. I don't want to repeat this too much. You know, I was an A student all from kindergarten to high school, A consistent. And I love science. Science was one of my favorite subjects. But when I try to divorce my personal feelings from my critique of the movies.
Yeah, and I can agree with that. For general audience,
to an extent, it's always our correct opinion, but you know, to an extent.
Yeah. For general audience, I would say that there's going to be a lot of people confused. I mean, it's
can your mom watch Interstellar and like it?
Probably not.
that's my measuring stick right there.
Well, you know, and this is another arguing point I have. It might be that, and I'm not trying to sound egotistical here, but maybe I have a more refined taste. The reason is because you look at everything that Hollywood is putting out right now,
mm-hmm.
and it's just nothing but regurgitated plots, regurgitated characters, and to me, this was like a break from it, and I was just like, finally, there's something that's different from the rest of these generic films that we're seeing.
Right.
I mean, I love Avengers, and I love most of the Marvel movies. We just talked about that, but at the same time, there's no difference really between the plot for Avengers versus the plot for Guardians of the Galaxy.
No. In fact, if you watch Screen Junkies' Honest trailers, you'll see that they're actually the same exact characters.
Yeah, in a way, yeah.
They're the same exact characters. But, and that's Hollywood to an extent. I'm not against original films. I'm not against original ideas. I just want to stay entertained. I'm looking forward to Robert Zemeckis' new film. He tends to do things like that, go outside the box.
Which film are you talking about?
The Walk with Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Yeah. They're here to save Hollywood.
You know, I haven't watched the trailer or anything for that yet, but I've heard good things.
It's only posted on the movie blog.
Oh, really? That shows me, man. I've been 2 days in coder world, so.
All right, well, you know, got to do what you got to do, but I found the trailer really fascinating. I hope you find some time to take a look at it. It really hits home for anybody who has a connection to the World Trade Centers of New York, the former Twin Towers. That goes for all New Yorkers and anybody else who's been there to the top. And anybody who actually saw the actual event that it's based upon in the 70s. You know, it's really going to hit home and bring out some wonderful feelings. One thing that I tend to notice is when a director is a master. You can tell a master from somebody who's, you know, a novice. Robert Zemeckis is this guy who can put together a trailer with one person and give you a fear of heights in 2D with no dialogue.
I agree,
Watch the trailer and you'll see what I'm talking about. It's a really interesting trailer. I'm really looking forward to the movie. There's not even a superhero in it. Good stuff. and that's it for me. Did you want to touch on anything else?
No, that's about it for me too, man.
Yeah. Well, Kenny, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. Next week, we're going to get you on the show. I promise.
Yeah, we need some Kenny on the show.
We need some Kenny. We need some Jim, and we're going to, you know, let's keep all of our thoughts clean and talk about movies.
Exactly.
But yeah, it was a great show. There's a lot of things that, you know, went on this week. There's a lot of other cool trailers on the website. I hope you guys are checking them out. The San Andreas trailer with The Rock. We interviewed Michael Rooker. Good job, Jim. You know, there's that trailer for Pan. You reviewed Horrible Boss. There's a lot of good things going on out there. So until next week, I guess.
Same bat time, same bat channel.
Oh, no. Please cancel Gotham. Please cancel it.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Jim, since you're not here, Gotham sucks.
Gotham sucks. Not seeing Bat's channel. Please get it off. All right, that's all for me. You guys have a good week, and see you guys next week.
All right, see ya. Yeah.